Well, good morning. It is great to see everyone here this morning. It is, as we talked about in my adult class in the fellowship hall, it is a blessing to be aware of our Lord, is it not? I mean, we've lived through droughts, we've lived through heat waves, and we have lived, and we are living through whatever the opposite of a drought and a heat wave is. And as we talked about this morning briefly in my class, it is a wonderful thing to know and just to be reminded on a daily basis and in this case a seasonal basis that we are not and cannot, we are not in control and cannot control much of what's around us. I mean, there's nothing that we can do as much as we want it to. As much as the soccer players might want to play soccer, as much as the golfers might want to play golf, as much as we pray about it, as much as we earnestly and pour out our heart to God, we are not in control of whether it rains or whether it doesn't. That is our God's. That's His call. And you know, and as we pray, and I know that there's some of us who prayed, Lord, let it keep raining, and just rain, 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 rain. And there's some of us who prayed, Lord, could it please just stop raining? It is upon His will and His whimsy whether it rains or whether it doesn't. And our God is in control of that. And He has that switch in His hand. Job's, have you seen where I store the rain? And I haven't. I don't know where He keeps the snow and the lightning. But I do know this, that He controls it. And we serve the God of the universe. The God who allows it to rain and allows it to dry up. Who allows the grass to grow and allows our heart to seek Him. We serve that true and living God. And that's exciting to me this morning that we get the opportunity to come in here. And to recognize His presence and worship and what we're a part of in the songs and the prayers and the sermons and the communion. All of that is just what happens when you recognize the presence of God. And I for one, am excited to be here. I am, in our class, we're talking about dealing with unbelief. It's something to live in a world where unbelief runs rampant, where unbelief seems to be at every turn, but we get to come here and be reminded that God is real and that He is in our lives and that He is in control. And we get the opportunity to be reminded of that and be encouraged in that. And this morning we're going to finish up Fearless. And if you're here for the first time, this has been a series where we've been talking about what it would be like to imagine your life without fear. You know, the one thing that controls what we do, it controls what we do when we get up and when we go to bed, and it controls what we do all day, that we go to work because we're afraid if we don't, we won't have a house or we won't have food or we won't be able to support our family. You know, we do all these things out of fear, and God's trying to turn that fear into joy. And so for the past 5-6 weeks, we've been talking about what it would be like to live fearless. And we talked about ways that we can live fearless. And this morning, as we conclude, like I said last week, and I've had the emails and the phone calls to prove it, that you guys were paying attention. Because last week I said, this week we're going to get it right. This week we're going to finish it all up, and I promise you, this week, this sermon, we're going to clear up all the doubts. We're going to once and for all get it right. Not to say that we've gotten it wrong, but I'm just telling you, you will leave here today with the right idea about God. Regardless of what you hear the rest of your life, you remember today you heard, and it's not from me. I'm telling you, it has been on my heart. God has put it. It's not my words. It's His. But you will remember today. What's the date today? The 20th. Mark it down. September the 20th, 2009 was the day that God told me the truth about Him, and he removed all doubt. The day is going to be right. If you hear any other sermons I've ever preached or anyone else, and if I ever tell you anything different, I am lying that time. And today is the truth. We're going to talk about what it looks like to be fearless with our encounter with God. Because ultimately, isn't that what we all fear the most? Isn't that what, when we think about standing before the true and living God, the God who controls that very rain right there, You're face to face with Him. What's that going to be like? What's that going to do to your heart? Is it going to speed up? Is it going to, are you going to break out in cold sweats? Are you going to, if I told you that, if I looked at you and said, Jake, next Tuesday you will be before God Himself. If I went around the room and said that, would pit of your stomach just, oh. We're going to get it right today. You know, as I think about, a lot of places that I would like to, if time travel ever became possible, there's so many places that I would like to go. There's so many times that I'd like to go. You know, there's so many scriptures that I would like to go to and experience. And you know, there would be a long line for the crossing of the Red Sea. I know, you know, we'd all want to go see that. And you know, and for, you know, there, I know that there'd be a lot of people that would want to go to the empty tomb and be there on that Easter morning and see the stone rolled away and the angel sitting there. I would love to be in the field with the shepherds when the angel appeared and said, you know, there's one. Hey, I bring you good tidings of joy. And it was for all men. I would love to be there. I think I would like to be there the night before Jesus was crucified, because I want to believe that I would stand up and say, I know that man. I know him, and he is the Lord, and what you're doing is wrong. But then I think, no, I don't want to stand in the way of what I know we all need. But I want to think I would be brave enough to stand up and maybe be crucified with him. But before it got really popular, before the word got out on it, I think I'd want to go to Luke chapter 9, verse 35 through 36. I think that I would want to be there for the transfiguration. When Jesus takes his inner circle and he goes up onto the mountain, you know, it's getting down to the wire. Remember last week we talked about that Jesus, he really, you know, our Lord, our Savior understands what we're going through, because there was a time in his life when he understood that when I embark upon this ministry, it is going, the clock is going to be ticking, and it's going to be, it's going to be on, and there's no way I can hide from this, and there's going to be times of good and times of horrible. And so our God understood that fear. And here's one of those times where he goes in preparation for what he knows is going to happen. He takes his inner circle and he goes up on the mountain. And the Bible says that about 8 days after Jesus said this, and the this is talking about Jesus, Peter's confession and Jesus talking to him there. He says about 8 days, he took Peter, John, and James with him. They went up into the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. And two men, Moses and Elisha, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. Now, first of all, how did they know that it was Moses and Elisha? There was no photographs back. There was no yearbooks, no documentation of what they, maybe they had just come from they had just come from a prophet seminar, and they still had their, hello, my name is Moses, sticker on. I don't know. The scriptures didn't tell us how they knew, but somehow supernatural, they understood that Jesus was before Moses and Elisha, and they're talking about something. It says that they spoke about his departure. They're talking about his coming departure. They're explaining to Jesus about death and dying and what it's going to be like. And they're preparing him for what he is about to experience. He knows it's coming. It says he was about to bring fulfillment to Jerusalem. Peter and his companions, they were very sleepy. That's sort of a pattern with these guys. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He didn't know what he was saying. The Bible actually says that. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped, and God had to turn Peter off a little bit. I mean, you know, Peter, just all of a sudden, he had this way of being in a situation. And when he saw something remarkable, when he saw something miraculous or exceptional, something that was unexplained, Peter had this, I don't know if it was a birth defect or what, but his foot would fly from his leg and just shoot up into his mouth before he could ever even stop it. I mean, here's the guy who in the garden, when Jesus is telling him about he's going to be taken away, you know, he draws a sword and says, hey, here's the guy who says, Lord, I will never betray you, never do it. And here he is. He just sees God's special effects. I mean, they'd never seen a Pixar movie. They'd never seen any of these films with all these amazing special effects. And so here, Jesus is glowing. The Bible says like lightning. He's being transfigured before them. Now, I will, welcome you not to ask me about that later, because I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means to be transfigured, to be transformed before them. But somehow, Jesus took on a whole different appearance, and it was extraordinary, and it was just amazing, and His face shone like lightning. And so Peter says, I need to say something. That's sort of like a typical preacher, you know. This was an amazing experience. Oh, you need to have a devotional now. So God has to turn on the fog machine and to shut him up a little bit. And he says, while he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And then a voice came from the cloud. And I think about what it would be like to hear the voice of God. You know, and I might have shared the story with you before, but after my mom was killed in a car accident when I was 20-something, you know, in 94, 15 years ago or so, about a month before she was killed, Vicky and I were supposed to babysit her dogs. And she was going away for the weekend. And my mom loved her dogs. She had these little Maltese dogs. And she loved them. They sat in the front seat. When she was taking them anywhere, they sat in the front seat all the time. She was that lady who always took her dog to the grocery store and, you know, restaurants. And, you know, Jake, she would say, ma'am, you can't bring your dog in here. And she would say, well, yes, I can. And there was just something about her to where you would say, oh, that's right, you can. Absolutely. She's like a Jedi. No, these aren't the dogs that you want me to leave out in the car. She took those dogs everywhere. She trusted us to babysit them. But we had plans that weekend, and they didn't involve watching no dogs. So we boarded them at a kennel. It's fine. It's completely safe and humane, and it's what you do, and it's what we would do if we owned dogs. But my mom's dogs did not know what a kennel was. They had no understanding of what is these strangers that are taking care of me and what are these bars and, you know, but we put them in a kennel. So my mom and her, the way that she would do is she would check up on me. She, you know, it wasn't her first rodeo with me. She knew. So you know what she did is she called my house and I didn't answer because we were camping or something. And I don't know what we were doing, but we weren't there. We were gone for 2 days, and we got home, an entire 120-minute tape in the answer machine was used up with my mom calling, looking for us to check on her dogs. And I'd given her some kind of story or something. I can't remember what it was, but anyway, at one point, there was about a 10-minute tirade about, I am on my way home and I want those dogs. If you've boarded those dogs and y'all have gone, and don't give me any story, and just on and on and on and on and on that tape. And it was all recorded and she knew it forever. And when I got home, I knew it was all over but the shooting. And when she died, I cherished that tape. You know, because there was not a whole lot of call for me to video record my mother or audio tape her. But and Vicky can tell you for months, for years afterwards, sometimes I would just get that tape out and listen. Just listen to her yell at me. Some of my fondest memories. I was used to that, but I didn't care what she was saying. I just wanted to hear her voice. I just wanted to hear that powerful, confident, loving melody of a voice come pouring out of those speakers. It was like she was right there. I could close my eyes and I could smell her. I could obviously hear her, but she was there and I loved it. And I read passages like this and I think, what would it be like to be completely consumed in a cloud to where all of my senses were absolutely obscured except for the sense of sound and to hear the voice of God, not like it was a thunder or not like it was, you know, a trumpet's blast as other places when God spoke, it was described as, but to hear Him and to understand what He was saying. And all of this is so that we can get the picture. He does all of this so that what He says is so important. This is my Son, whom I have chosen. It's the same words that He says at Jesus' baptism. And God often doesn't repeat Himself. And here He adds one thing to the exact same thing He said to the word of what God says at the baptism of Jesus. Here's my Son, whom I love or whom I have chosen. But He adds this, listen to Him. And this morning, I want to invite us to do that very thing. To listen to Him. To listen to God in what He would say and how He would say it. And if we had one chance, if we had one shot, one opportunity to hear the voice of God speak directly to us as individuals so that we could hear it, so that we would understand His voice and understand His mind and know what was on His heart. What would God say to you this morning? I'm telling you, there's nothing on earth more important than the answer to that question. A.W. Tozer says that what comes to mind when you think about God is the most important thing in your life. It really is. So not only what would God say to you, but what's on the other side of that is, what would you hear? If God were staying, I mean, He knows you, friend. Everything about you, inside and out, your fears, your frustrations, your shortcomings, your accomplishments, all of those things, He knows you. What would He say to you this morning? That question was asked to about 2,000 Church of Christ teenagers across this country. And the results of that poll were astounding. And I think that they ring very true. I think that if we took a poll this morning, that we'd probably get very similar to the top four answers. There was almost unanimous four answers that really came in. There was a couple of spatterings in there. But by and large, there was four answers that people said, if I was in front of God, if I was on a mountain, if I was in a classroom, if God was in front and He was speaking to me and He was going to tell me one thing, if God could come down from heaven and I could experience Him and He had one shot to tell me one thing, this is what it would be. The number one answer. God would be mad. And they described, you know, kind of like your principal at school. Just no offense. When you're really in trouble. I mean, when you've just broken half of the handbook in one day, principal calls you in your office. I mean, imagine, for me, it's not a stretch. I've got plenty of files of material for what this is like. I was there. I would have given out ulcers. You know, your principal's mad. He brings you into the office and says, well, what have you gotten yourself into now? Look at the mess that you've made. I tell you what, mister. I'm this close to kicking you out of here. You know what? I'm not going to. Because that would be too easy on you. No, I'm going to make you stay here. I'm going to make you write so many sentences. I'm going to make you do so much. You know what? I tell you what, you just get out of my office. And when next time I see you, things had better be different. Does that sound familiar? Is that what we think? That when we think, man, I'm in front of God, He's going to bring up all of the, oh, He knows it all. He's keenly aware. He's probably even got it on videotape. I know the handbook. I've broken most of it. And if God wasn't going to be mad, He would certainly be disappointed. Remember your mom? Whenever you just, again, just stepped all in it and she, go to your room. And about 9 hours later, she comes up there. Well, I just hope you're happy. I really do. I mean, we keep giving and giving and giving. We do for you. And look at you. I just hope you're happy. Maybe your brother will turn out better. But not you. I mean, that's what we think. That's what God would say to us. And if He wasn't disappointed, they thought that He would be kind of haughty, kind of glad He had caught up to you. Sort of like a highway patrolman. You know, one of those good old southern highway patrolmen. Well, well, well. What do we have here? Where's the fire? Oh, yeah, I know. I know how fast you was going. I tell you what. I'm going to let you go this one time. But I'm going to be watching you. And you know that there's nothing you can do if I catch you again. Because I got all the power. And you, well, let's just say I got all the power. So you run along now. And you just do your dead level best to try and behave yourself, because I'll be watching you. And I'm making a list, and I'm a checking it twice. And next time you see me, I might not be in such a good mood. Y'all have a nice day now. Is that what God would say? Would He be so glad, just so rubbing our nose in that? Or maybe He's just too busy. Maybe He's just, God's got a lot going on. I mean, He's the master of the universe, and He's got all this stuff going on in third world countries, and He's got the weather and everything else. And it's kind of like walking into an office of that CEO or that someone who's just so busy, and you got to get past the receptionist, and you just walk in and it's just, they don't even know your name, really. You know, it's just you walk in and like, yeah, I'll get back to you. Oh, okay, just have a seat over there. That'll be fine. I'll be right with you in a second. Okay, no. I said 40 days, 40 days. Oh, my goodness. And then you got to do it. If you want it done right, you got to do it yourself. I tell you, oh, hold on. I got to go. I'll be right with you. I'll call you back. Okay, talk to you later. Oh, it's good to have you in here today, Donald. I mean, Dick, whatever. Okay, what's on your mind? Okay, all right. The economy, the weather, yeah, I got all this. I've already got those on my to-do list. Have a nice day, Dick, that's fine. Okay, have a nice day. Bye, see you. Would God be too busy? Would He be mad? Would He be disappointed in us? I mean, think about all of the things, the idea we have of the unnumberable, the unimaginable, the vastness of God. The question this morning, what would God say to you? Now I'm gonna need a little help this morning. Jared, come here for just a second. Yeah, come here. Come up here. Up here. It's Jared Rogers, Al's son. Y'all know him. Okay. Here, you're gonna be my visual aid. Okay.
All right.
You're staying here. Now you're you.
I'm me.
And I'm God. I'm just for purposes of this today. You're standing in front of God, and He's gonna say one thing to you. I mean, He knows you, everything. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you thought on the way over here. He knows what you're thinking. He knows it all, pal. Is this going to be scary for you at that moment?
Terrifying.
Terrifying. Well, let me tell you what God would say to you. And everybody put yourself in Jared's spot right now. I mean, He knows everything you've thought. Everything you've ever done, everything you've planned on doing, everything you've hidden, everything you've buried, all the bodies, He knows it all. What's God going to say to you? I love you. I love you so much that I would rather die than be without you. I love you. That's what God would say to us. That's what He's. That's what this is about. You go ahead and sit back down, Jared. Give Jared a big hand, people. That's what God would say. I mean, you read the Bible and it says, Shane, I know, but it talks about the, you know, all of God's wrath and He's angry and the you know, the bigness of sin. And you know why He talks about that? Because so that we see this and we know how deep and how long and how tall and how wide and how vast His love is. If we never knew what sin did, if we never knew how big and how much it hurts, we would never understand how loudly from the heavens God is saying, I love you. I'm not disappointed. I'm not angry. I'm never too busy. I'm none of those things. Certainly not haughty and glad to finally get my hands on you. Because if I could get my hands on you, I would hold you and I would hug you and I would never let you go. But our fear drives us so far from God. Our fear of what He would say, our fear of what He might do, our fear of what He would think, it repels us like so much doubt. It's like a poison that separates us from the God who with every ounce of infinity wants us to know that I love you. There's nothing that you have ever done. There's nothing that you can do or stop doing. There's nothing that you can think or stop thinking that's going to make me love you any more than I love you right now. And when we understand that, when we get that right, well, it changes everything. It changes the way that we approach God. It changes the very encounter that we're going to have with Him. And we're no longer afraid to be in His presence. We no longer find everything else to do besides recognize the very presence of God. We no longer worry about what others think. We no longer have to build our lives up to be something so important because we know that the true and living God who commands the waves and the rain loves us so very much that He would die before He spent another minute of eternity without us. So now what? The last thing I want to tell you. What does it do? How does this change my life? We're bold. We're no longer timid. We're no longer fearful. We're no longer hiding. We're no longer shrinking back. But we're bold. We're bold to come into His presence. We're bold to lift our hands to Him and to say, I don't get this, God. You love me. You're not ashamed of me. You're not disappointed in me. You're not angry at me. You're not too busy for me. You're not haughty in my presence. God, I don't understand what's going on. How bold of a prayer is that? God, I want you to take this thorn from my side. We're bold. We will come into His presence confused and full of doubt, not understanding and not like spoiled children wanting everything. Because as soon as it doesn't turn out the way that we want, we're bold enough to come to God and say, teach me your will. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked man flees though no one pursues him, but the righteous are bold as lions. You can't lie to me about my God. When Satan is there in the garden of our life and he says, you know what, God says this and God thinks that and God doesn't want you to do this and God wants you to do that, where you can boldly say, Satan, get behind me, liar. Because I know the truth about God. And I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. And Acts chapter 4, 12 through 13 talks about people who their very lives were being pursued by wicked people. And it said that they were so courageous that they went into places where they ought not talk about the gospel. And they talked about it anyway. Because they knew God. God loved them. Can we live that life? Can we live a life void of fear? As I close this series, my challenge is that let's stop imagining a life. For 5 weeks, we've imagined a life without fear. Let's stop imagining it. Let's be people who live it. Who live a life unafraid of the very God that we serve. What a community we will live in then. Would you join me as together we stand and as we sing?